From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They called me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Dylan the Tennessee Pal Fagan. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It is the top of the week. If you are hearing this the evening it publishes, let us welcome you to November 18th, and good luck on the upcoming Thanksgiving celebration, fellow Americans.
My fellow Americans. You will eat turkey until you fall asleep.
I don't like turkey, though, Dad. I mean, President Dad.
We'll take your tryptophan straight. You know what I mean?
Speaking of that, you know, the whole tryptophan thing has, you know, largely been debunked in terms of what makes you sleepy. I actually watched a cooking video recently where an internet chef named Chef Jacques pointed out that it's likely people eating raw flour in their gravy because it has not been cooked long enough. People just sprinkle it in and don't give it time. And that just turns into glue in your gut and makes you sleepy.
So consider this our holiday PSA for both gravy and any sort of roux you choose. Please cook correctly, follow the directions, and stay safe, especially around your crazy uncles. We're going to leave that there. We got so much to get to. One thing we're talking about, I think we're all excited off air about this. 43 Monkeys staged a jailbreak of sorts.
I was going to call it a coup. I don't think that's accurate. You nailed it, Ben.
Thanks, man. They escaped from a South Carolina research facility. By this point, you have heard about this multiple times. Some, but not all, of the monkeys have been apprehended as we record this evening.
Well, I think it's a kind of a continuation of this whole like animals revolting against the humans kind of storyline, like with the whales and all of that stuff attacking, you know, fishing boats. Because, I mean, these are animals that are used for experimentation, for like, you know, cosmetics testing and things like that. I don't know exactly what they did at this very evilly named lab. What was the name of the lab?
Oh, Alpha Genesis.
Thank you. It just sounds like a cartoon evil corporation. But I don't know, man. Hopefully the ones that got away are on their way to a better life.
Well, it's in my mind, it's a weird gray area because Alpha Genesis, at least according to their website, they are the providers of primates for testing. So really at that facility, perhaps they're just raising these primates as like happy little primates. And then they get shipped off to, you know, wherever they're going. I think they do offer some services for testing, though, at their facilities.
Yeah, my understanding is a lot of that is health testing, right? So it's not the invasive surgical procedures nor vaccine development specifically, but Alpha Genesis folks, somebody there accidentally left a door to an enclosure unsecured. Out of the group of 50 monkeys, macaws, 7 stayed behind, 43 bolted out. They have been apprehended. This is not a Planet of the Apes or Outbreak situation just yet. But in case that turns out to happen, because a few are still on the loose now, we're going to give you strange news while the humans are still running the figurative roost. Ooh, we're going to talk about Chile. We're going to get into some zoonotic conversations. We'll have a bunch of updates on the way. Before we do any of that, you guys, did you hear Russia's recent statement?
I don't think so.
I can't wait to hear it.
We're gonna open cold.
You may not realize it, but every minute of every day, you're enjoying your First Amendment freedoms. You can wear what you want, give out your opinion for free, even if it's unpopular. Listen to your playlist. You can put a sign out on your front lawn that says, "Vote for Bigfoot, someone you can believe in." Pray to the god of your choice, or don't. You have the right to hang with a posse that thinks like you do. Tell the government what you think about its policies. They're the freedoms that let you be you, and they're all brought to you by the First Amendment. Moving like a river in my soul. Learn more at freedomforum.org.
Sometimes where a crime took place leads you to answer why the crime happened in the first place. Hi, I'm Sloane Glass, host of the new true crime podcast, American Homicide. In this series, we'll examine some of the country's most infamous and mysterious murders and learn how the location of the crime becomes a character in the story. Listen to American Homicide on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dear kids, thank you for all your holiday joy. Thank you for your curious eyes that keep us searching for creative hiding spots. Thank you for bringing us into your snowball fights. And thank you for reminding us that December is our favorite month, too. Find something that brings out the kid in you at the Lexus December to Remember sales event. Get offers on select vehicles now through January 2nd. Click the banner to discover more. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
Curious about investing in crypto and not sure where to start? Start with Grayscale. They have over a decade of experience focused on this emerging asset class. In fact, Grayscale operates over 20 different crypto investment products, offering investors plenty of choice when it comes to diversifying into crypto. Even better, many of their products are available right in your investment account. Give it a try. Search for a Grayscale product ticker today. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. For more information and important disclosures, visit grayscale.com.
And we have returned, fellow conspiracy realists in the U.S. and abroad. As you may have heard, it was a bit of a hectic recent couple of weeks. There is a new president elect, or wait, as LL would say, don't call it a comeback. All signs indicate that former President Donald Trump will again assume the office of POTUS, President of the United States, here in this country. And a lot of people are happy. A lot of people are angry. A lot of people are concerned. America has ever been a divisive place. I'll tell you what, we talk a lot about this off air, and we know politics can be sensitive. We're not coming to you to tell you our opinions of this stuff. We are coming to tell you Russia state opinions of this stuff. I don't know if you guys heard, but recently some stuff's been getting weird geopolitically since the election. Presidential aide for the Russian government, Nikolai Patrushev, recently had a statement in Russian-run media outfit called Kommersant, where he gave the following quotation in part of his statements regarding the new regime change in the United States. And I'd like to share this. There's a short one get you guys' reactions from the jump. Our buddy Nikolai said, quote, "To achieve success in the election, Donald Trump relied on certain forces to which he has corresponding obligations as a responsible person. He will be obliged to fulfill them."
It'd be a shame if something happened to that nice presidency of yours. That is sinister.
What do you
think, my friend?
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, you know, it sure sounds like something a gangster might say, you know,
yeah.
In terms of like, it's time to, you know, I may call upon you to do a favor.
What do you think it could possibly be in regards to, like, when it comes to doing things for them? Do you think Ukraine is involved in some way?
Also, way to throw the guy under the bus, you know, Nikolai. It's not very covert. It's an odd thing to say so publicly if there was some shenanigans going on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. And to answer that first question regarding what could have been done, what is the quid pro quo at issue, right? Is it asymmetrical disinformation operations? That's clear. That's proven. That's a definite. Is the implication then, because definitely an implication here, is the implication that the Russian government somehow put its thumb on the election, right? That seems to be the case. And we do know both China and Russia have been very active with disinformation in not just this recent election, but multiple elections. The second part of it, the other side of the equation, the obligations. What is it that you are expected to do? Notably, Ukraine, probably sanctions. Lifting sanctions would be another big one. We know this happened around the same time that a rumor spread about Russian state television releasing nude photos of the former and returning first lady.
Oof.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very strong army. And again, it doesn't appear to be the most tactful way of, like, it seems like a putting someone on blast kind of situation, you know?
Yeah. Seems like running the operation there. So in early November, just earlier this month as we record, a lot of people on social media, one platform or another, went nuts and they claimed that Russian state TV was showing nude photos of Melania Trump shortly after Western media announced Donald Trump as the president-elect. And it turns out that is absolutely true. Those videos were released. It was I think we could call it primetime TV in local Russia time. It was 6:30 p.m. That's pretty much evening news time.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like this happens in concert. It feels like they're coupled again with statements about how they're keeping an eye on undersea cables. This doesn't look good. This is not a political point on a domestic front. This is this has the makings of a geopolitical conspiracy. It feels very much like a threat. And you guys, it reminds me about the old discussion of the Steele dossier, which was infamously mentioned and then buried by U.S. news apparatus.
It's meant to be full of what, compromise kind of material?
Or? Well, yeah, yes. And we were also fed differing information on that as the American public, right? We were told it was real and then it wasn't real, but it is, but it's not. Just speaking of disinformation, it does call into question, like, that statement that was made at the top, right, about that official saying something like that. It just makes you feel... It makes me feel like I'm being toyed with or played with.
Absolutely.
Nikolai Patrushev. Yeah, it's true that there is there's a lot of fog of war here, because you can see for the Steele dossier, for anybody who kind of has it on the, you know, like the tip of your tongue, the front of your mind, it was a research report that emerged during the 2016 presidential election, and it was compiled by a guy named Christopher Steele, who's a pretty legit counterintelligence specialist. It's not super long. It's 35 pages, which is pretty short, and it has these allegations of smoky backroom cooperation between the Russian state, cough, cough, Putin, cough, cough, and Donald Trump or his nascent administration at some point. And the implication, to your point about compromise, Noel, it's heavily alluded to that Russian intelligence has some sort of evidence of perhaps financial crime, perhaps misbehavior in terms of classified documents, or perhaps straight up documentation of sex crime or some other violent crime. Nothing really came of this. And to Matt's earlier point, it was somewhat dismissed by the Western media, and there's always a ton of stuff happening, but more and more people on any side of the aisle here in the States are increasingly concerned that the president-elect may indeed be either a Russian asset or be somehow controlled. And you never, no matter who you vote for, you never want the POTUS, never want the runner of the world's most dangerous military to be beholden to a foreign power.
That football guy. You want that football guy to be only on your team. Speaking of the nuclear football.
Well, yeah, and these types of accusations have been flying around for years, you know, during the first term, the first Trump administration, and in between. So this is just kind of, you know, going to make it easy for people to feel a little more strongly that this is definitely happening.
With regard to those specific photos that were released of Melania, because those are from her modeling career, which she's talked about openly, like they're known to exist, right? Do you think it is signaling, hey, we aren't afraid to show your spouse nude, and also think about the other stuff we've captured of her, like over time, maybe as part of this type of thing?
Right. The shot across the bow theory. It's possible. You can read an excellent article on Snopes that summarizes a lot of this. Melania Trump is a model. It is also, or was a model. It is also quite possible that the state-run media just decided to go with this on their own, just the way a tabloid in the UK publishes the Page Five girl or whatever.
And given like Trump's kind of position as this sort of strongman figure who won't be effed with, does this not feel like it warrants a response? And if the one doesn't come, doesn't that make this even more plausible? That they,
I mean, maybe that's a good question, because we have to realize that the U.S. government gets all kinds of wackadoo statements toward it constantly. Again, no matter who is in office, spoiler, the leader of North Korea is not going to like it. And we'll probably have some smack to talk on the on the global court. But we know also, speaking of evidence, that there is not at this point any solid proof or confirmation that Donald Trump himself or his members of his campaign had colluded in or knew anything about disinformation efforts, asymmetrical warfare on behalf of the Russian state, and up to and including those fake bomb threats that we spoke about previously.
Polling places, right?
Right, right. And with this, what we can say is that Patrushev's message is kind of lightning out of the blue, and it's not the way that a lot of these folks talk to each other in the public square, because it feels very much like saying, hey, man, polonium can turn up in all kinds of places.
Does this guy, I'm sorry if I missed this, but does he occupy a position that's very close to Putin? Is this sort of a lone wolf, or this is a legitimate spokesperson?
He's a, again, a presidential aide to Vladimir Putin. And long time in his career. So if you are listening, Nikolai, we would love to give you a spot to explain, you know, to expound, if you will, upon your statements. Tell us what these obligations are. Tell us what constitutes responsible reciprocity for you. And then also, you know, tell us your favorite way to launder money. That's the segue here. I think we've got a little bit of time left. We talk about money laundering so much, so often. Email us your favorite examples, conspiracy@iheartradio.com. Guys, money launderer for one of our favorite cartels recently got in trouble because he tried to launder the wrong money. Did you guys hear about this?
What?
Yeah. A guy named Daniel Sean Zilke, whose street name in the game is The Englishman, was the running the show for a huge money laundering conspiracy on the behalf of a consortium of cartels. And he had a unfortunate run-in with the DEA in 2015. He was contacted by someone who needed to wash some money. And they had a great relationship for a while. This person said, look, I need hundreds of millions of U.S. dollars moved to Mexico. I'm going to use a bank account of a charity in Dallas. That's how we will all wash this stuff up. And then our buddy, the Englishman, got too greedy and he tried to steal his vigorous, right, to embezzle these funds he was supposed to launder responsibly. And it turned out that he laundered undercover DEA money.
Damn. That was totally trackable, right?
And yes.
He just told on himself.
Do you guys think it was through TD Bank?
I hope so. I hope so. Brought to you by...
I thought they had their act cleaned up.
Well, now they do.
I'm sure that'll stick. Shout out to HSBC, one of our favorite examples there. So just a note, no judgment, but to any money launderers, remember... criminal cartels do not have an HR department. They do not have an arbitration clause. Mm-hmm. Be very careful what
they have
you
a
do
hit
with
squad.
Their stuff. Yeah.
That's what
they have. Yeah, they don't put you on a pit plan. They put you on a
plan. An actual pit.
On a pop plan.
Yeah, what is that? PIP employee improvement or something like that?
Yeah. Personal improvement plan.
I thought you said pit, and that was very even more appropriate because, you know, across the cartel.
Not a pit plan, but a plan.
I got you. Totally. I think both work.
A PO,
it's just the one bullet point. Yeah. One bullet point. All right, we'll keep it. All right, very last thing before we move on to the next act of our strange news segment. We have talked in the past about collapsing birth rates. We have talked about the 4B movement, honestly, pretty well in advance of it going global. The 4B movement, how would we explain that?
It's essentially women refusing to engage with men, right? Mm-hmm. Even their husbands in sexual congress.
Yeah. Well, yeah, one of the
more than that.
One of the tenets is not to be in a romantic relationship, not to get married, not to have kids, mm-hmm. and not to have intercourse or other sexual relations with men.
Yes. Yeah. It gained prominence in 2019, at least on the internet. The 4B part comes from the Korean language. No sex with men, no giving birth, no dating men, no marriage with men. And it's a result of the intense misogyny that a lot of people experience in that part of the world, which coincides with collapsing birth rates in that part of the world. Japan is often the most well-known example of collapsing birth rates. And every plan that the Japanese government has made to, quote unquote, combat or address this problem has just seemed like a terrible idea. It was China where people were calling women to see if they were pregnant. A Japanese politician recently said, "Hey guys, I know how to boost the birth rate. If you're a woman and you're over 30, we're removing your uterus."
Eh?
Okay.
Like, so quickly have those kids before we take your ability to do it?
Naoki Hayakuta, who's the leader of the Conservative Party of Japan, said, "Okay, here's how we could do this. Banning marriage after a certain age. So if you're a woman, you're over 25, you can't get married." He said, "If that doesn't work, you know, by the time you hit 30, we'll take out the uterus."
That's like forced sterilization. That's insane.
Exactly. Yeah. It's also forced mutilation. And,
yeah, dude. Who greenlit that pitch? That's
still a pitch, thankfully. Okay. Yeah. Still a pitch, thankfully.
Not good.
But bringing that up because, yeah, it's a conspiracy against women, but it also, first off, in addition to be cartoonish and evil, like bubblegum modeled after chewing tobacco, it seems like there's no way this would work. Or
it would be so expensive, too, wouldn't it? I mean,
well, Japan does have better health care than the U.S.
That's true, but still, it just seems like logistically a nightmare.
Agreed. And incredibly worrying that this could even be brought up, as a brainstorm or a blue sky pitch. Very Handmaid's Tale in some ways. Like, what's that thing that went around? We were talking about a little offline, that horrible comment that went viral from a real misogynistic bully, "Your body, my choice."
Gross.
Nick Fuentes, I want to say.
That's right. I see, it's one of those things too where, you know, you have a comedian or a pundit or whatever who says some inflammatory and then writes it off as, "I was just joking." But when you see it appearing on signs that people are holding up, you know, protesting at abortion clinics or whatever, then it's the rubber has met the road in a very different way.
And he totally did the move that all bullies and cowards do, which is when he had consequences for his statements. He said, "Oh, I'm just joking. What are you getting so perclept about? Oh, I'm just kidding. Don't you know about comedy?" And then get this, and we'll end it here. He got doxxed by women in the United States who are rightly mad at him. And he ran and hid at his mom's house.
Glad she was there for him.
Mm-hmm. Looks like for a guy who talks so much trash about women, he sure needed a woman's help. With that, we're going to pause for a word from our sponsors. We'll wait to see if Nikolai hits us up. We'll give you updates on that toward the end, but then we'll be right back with more strange news.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. all in just 30 seconds, all for 100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get 100 off a cocktail maker when you spend 400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Whenever a homicide happens, two questions immediately come to mind. Who did this and why? And sometimes the answer to those questions can be found in the where the crime happened. I'm journalist Sloane Glass, and I host the new podcast, American Homicide. Each week, we'll explore some of this country's most infamous and mysterious murders. And you'll learn how the location of the crime became a character in the story. On American Homicide, we'll go coast to coast and visit places like the wide-open New Mexico desert, the swampy Louisiana bayou, and the frozen Alaska wilderness. And we'll learn how each region of the country holds deadly secrets. So join me, Sloane Glass, on the new true crime podcast, American Homicide. Listen to American Homicide on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the quiet town of Avella, Pennsylvania, Jared and Christy Akron seem to have it all. A whirlwind romance, a new home, and twins on the way. What no one knew was that Christy was hiding a secret so shocking it would tear their world apart.
911 response, what's your emergency?
My babies, please, my babies!
One woman, two lives, and the truth more terrifying than anyone could imagine.
They had her as one of the suspects, but they could never prove it.
You're going to go to jail if you don't come with us right now.
Throughout this whole thing, I kept telling myself, nobody's that crazy.
Uncover the chilling mystery that will leave you questioning everything. A story of the lengths we go to protect our darkest secrets.
She went batshit crazy, shot and killed all her farm animals. Slaughtered them in front of the kids, tried to burn their house down.
Audio Up presents The Unborn on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The $5 meal deal at McDonald's means you get to pick between a McDouble or a McChicken.
Mmm.
Then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money. Get the $5 meal deal today.
Prices and participation may vary for a limited time only.
So yeah, plans for the holiday season, but nothing to wear. Yeah, been there until I decided to step into Express, and I'm so glad I did. They had everything I could ever possibly need. The best dresses for holiday parties. I mean, check. Comfy essentials for quality couch time. Check. The perfect tops, those blazers, the pants that I love. And for your 9 to 5, check, check, check. I'm telling you, this trip to Express changed my life. Getting dressed has never been easier. Look, do yourself a favor. Head to Express right now in store or just shop online at express.com.
And we have returned with some more strange news. Guys, are you both stoked as I am about the new Wicked movie?
Yeah, Ariana's in it, right?
It sure is.
I think it's weird that they made Ariana Grande. That they made it two films.
Well, I heard today for the first time that the musical is in two acts, so they decided to maximize the receipts, I guess, you know, the way they did with The Hobbit, a short children's book. Sure. I don't know. It always screams of greed whenever Hollywood studios do something like that. I mean, the musical, you know, musicals are certainly longer than features oftentimes, but I can't imagine it being more than 3 hours, and they probably could have condensed that into one movie easy, but two is better than one in terms of, you know, grosses, as they call them. But just a quick story on this, guys. Of course, when you have a big blockbuster like this, a big tentpole, as they call it, coming, you end up with lots of merchandising opportunities, including dolls, figurines, collectibles, call them what you will, which have been making the rounds in, you know, your big box store of choice. From Mattel, they released some Wicked dolls. I guess they're calling them wicked fashion dolls.
Not wicked dolls?
No.
They missed the boat on that one.
Yeah, Bratz. They should do, where's the Bratz dolls, the wicked Bratz dolls, especially with it being, have been just recently a Bratz summer. But Rachel Trezelman, over at the NPR, has this incredible story of a big old marketing snafu that Mattel was responsible for. An absolute egg on faces situation that someone's head is going to roll for. A wicked mistake. Mattel apologizes for printing a porn site on its doll packaging.
Well, hold on before we get angry. Which site specifically?
Well, I mean, if you were coming of age in the late 90s as I was, you may well have come of age. That's gross sounding. And heard of a little company called Wicked Pictures.
Oh.
At the time, probably responsible for some of the biggest names in pornography.
Old school. Okay.
In terms of like names that maybe crossed over, you know, like Jenna Jameson, for example. Wicked Pictures stars, you know, you might have actually heard of some of them because they were a big deal back in the 90s and 2000s, but apparently they've kind of fallen by the wayside, especially as like people are no longer paying big bucks for pornography DVDs and site subscriptions because everything's ripped and just put on places like Pornhub or RedTube or whatever.
Was it wicked like VHS days?
It was as early as that for sure. And then, it, you know, I think it was also early days of DVDs. But the funny thing too about Wicked Pictures, which you may or may not know, is I was trying to find some of the names because they're always funny, but they were responsible in the old school fashion of pornography for doing these kind of like spoofs of big Hollywood movies, you know, like one that'll always stick with me just from like a sketch, I think, for back of the day is like, instead of Pulp Fiction, it's Pulp Friction, you know,
yeah,
things
porn
like
parodies.
That. Yeah. Porn parodies, 100%. That is one of Wicked's stocks in trade. And because of the amount of time they've been around, Ben, to your point, as early as the VHS days, pre-internet days, they got that wicked.com on lock, y'all. And some hapless copywriter for Mattel didn't add the very key movie add-on to their URL they printed on these packages. So they all went out with wicked.com on the backs of these children's figures. And apparently, according to the New York Post, wicked.com has experienced a rise in its traffic and unseen for 12 years. A 12-year high after Mattel mistakenly prints URL on Wicked doll boxes. Now,
congratulations to everyone involved,
all concerned except for the heads that are most certainly are or have already rolled over at Mattel in their copywriting department.
And secondly, to answer your earlier question, I think the best portmanteau for collectible and merchandising would be Merchables. And if you are a collector, I imagine you are buying up as many of these Wicked dolls with that misprint as you can, because those will, depending on how the film does, those are going to be pretty choice.
They already are, my friend. They are going on eBay, misprinted versions, because they were quickly recalled, not just apologized for, which Mattel definitely did, but they were pulled from shelves. So you are seeing already these much more collectible collector's items going for hundreds of dollars on the internet. A statement from Mattel said, Mattel was made aware of a misprint on the packaging of the Mattel Wicked Collection dolls, primarily sold in the U.S., which intended to direct consumers to the official wickedmovie.com landing page. We deeply regret this unfortunate error and are taking immediate action to remedy. It confirms that the listed website is not appropriate for children. And just last thing for me, lest you worry that this sent kids directly to a pornographic image, the landing page is, again, in classic old school OG porn website tradition, does ask you to confirm your date of birth.
And
promise that you're 18 or older. So
step aside, NSA. That's
no harm, no foul.
Security.
No harm, no foul. Surely no kid caught a glimpse of something they shouldn't have seen. But I don't know, man. Matt, I know you've got thoughts about this one.
Oh, I just want to point out, this is the company that Stormy Daniels was a major part of for
100%.
A long time, which is interesting to connect, just to connect things back up in this episode. And also, it's weird to me that they did so many parody movies like you were talking about. Yep. Many of them direct ripoffs of Disney IP, like Cinderella and
Snow White.
Did you
find names, Matt? Did you find some of the names?
Well, yeah, one of them was Snow White XXX, an Axel Braun parody, or Cinderella XXX, an Axel Braun parody.
And a burst of creativity, as Ben would say. They could do better. Come on.
Dude, well, they also had Batman versus Superman, a XXX parody.
I don't think this was wicked, but I loved the puns. It's a Wonderful Life. Another one.
Inglorious Bitches.
They write themselves, you know?
A Tale of Two Titties.
They could have just gone with Inglorious Holes. You know?
I think it's much more interesting than, look, we know production can get crazy and it's stressful to make any kind of entertainment. I want to give accolades to people who make the good porn pun titles instead of just adding XXX at the end. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
No, the olden days. Return to the glory hole days.
Yes.
Everybody does Raymond. Titles.
Yes.
Everybody does Raymond.
Everybody does Raymond.
You can kind of hear the plot as well.
Romancing Dude. The Bone.
There you go.
Yeah.
Operation like Desert Stormy.
Thank you. Yes.
Forrest Hump.
Thank you. Gosh, we guys are on fire with these. And I know some of these are real, and I think some of these you might be making up, but they're all equally fantastic. To the point I was making earlier, definitely heads are going to roll. It's unclear who's responsible directly for this, but we do have multiple eBay sellers listing these toys for as much as $500, some advertising them as rare URL error misprints. In the culture, the small, you know, the niche kind of culture of collectibles and, you know, any kind of misprint is a big deal, is a get, especially one as embarrassing as this for a company as storied and legacy as Mattel. You know, I mean, they invented Barbie, for Christ's sake.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how wicked the adult entertainment company is going to handle that in court. But we'll have to.
Well, they've done nothing wrong.
No, they haven't. They haven't. If anything, they should just write a nice thank you note.
I know, exactly. And just to confirm on the there's a New York Post article that has some nice screenshots. And it's funny, too, like, obviously, people saw this web address on the packaging in very small print of a toy. And followed up with it. If anything, it's a win for marketing because they know that people are going to those websites.
Think about the attrition rate too. You know, even it, like on a box of cereal where it says, "Hey, if you want this special deal, you can write to this 100%. Place." Right?
It's the modern
so
version
few
of that,
people
yeah.
do it. Yeah. Lord of the G-strings.
thank you. So let's put a pin in that one, I guess, because I would be interested to see if there's any further fallout. You know, if God forbid this did lead to actionable, you know, or witnessed moments of children viewing pornographic material, young people. You know what I mean? I mean, that's
hopefully
bad.
Not.
That's I hope not. Mm-hmm. But that is an absolute. I wonder if there's a class action lawsuit potential here.
Possible. You're not wrong there, Noel. That's always in the cards. We should take a moment and say, without knowing the details, this does seem like an honest mistake. It doesn't seem like someone working in the vast panoply of marketing and merchables for this said the revenge of Ron Jeremy or anything like that.
Surely we own wicked.com.
Right.
Have you heard of Wicked? I mean, come on.
And now they're legally boned.
Oh boy. See, which all of that makes me think of the cover, the original cover of The Little Mermaid. Remember that one?
Oh, with the sexual device featured.
The penises.
It was it was like a dildo kind of like yes. I mean that's what it, and also we've talked about the little hidden dubbed moments
in Aladdin.
Good teenagers take off their clothes. I think they fixed it, but boy oh boy, when I was young, we played that part back over and over again, and it was definitely there. And that
Surprise.
Is not a Mandela effect. Yeah.
Surprise, cartoonists can sometimes be weird and horny.
Well, that does beg the question: like, was this a simple mistake, or was this a disgruntled copywriter who pushed something through to make an embarrassing thing?
I feel like mistake.
I think so too. Because again, surely we own wicked.com, you know?
No offense to anybody in the crowd, but you have to have a certain level of enthusiasm or a certain age upon you to even be aware of Wicked, the adult entertainment site.
Yeah, I mean, like
Empire,
It is something that I was aware of because I was just of a certain age. It was inescapable. Mm-hmm. There was a time where it was like the only game in town that was like bordering on mainstream. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it really was like to that
Jenna
level.
Jameson made appearances in
talk shows,
public
and stuff.
Mainstream stuff.
Yes.
Was main shrub. Also Drill Bill.
Hey, there you
go.
I'm just going to keep doing it. I want you to. I'm
so grateful to you guys because I was coming up. I was shooting blanks.
No, in that one, does Bill have the drill or is Bill drilled?
Is Bill being drilled?
That's an excellent question because, you see, it's a two-part cinematic experience. There's Drill Bill Volume 1.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about the third one?
Oh, that's Drill Bill After Dark.
No, they didn't. There was no third Kill Bill. They gotta follow the rules. It's gotta follow suit of the actual thing that they're parodying.
I'm sure there's some guy in San Fernando Valley who is just up to his gills on his favorite vice of choice and saying, no, for the artistic integrity, we can only do two. I hate you guys. I'm calling Quentin now.
Yeah. Well, you know, Quentin is a bit of a foot fetishy guy. Maybe he was involved. Who knows?
I was going to say, no, unrelated to anything, I just learned there's apparently a site called WikiFeet. So thank you / I'm still angry at you to our pals Jack and Miles over at Daily Zeitgeist, who taught me that WikiFeet is a thing, just like it sounds like. And Miles in particular is mad that Jesus Christ does not have a WikiFeet entry.
I don't think we have any actual photos of Jesus Christ's feet. We just have very graphic descriptions of them being washed and of him washing others' feet. The Bible full of the original feet pics. Geez, guys, I didn't expect us to go quite as long on this little nugget of a topic, but it really did kind of encompass more than I expected. So thank you for that. But I will just mention something that I think might be worth a larger exploration. Mm. We've certainly talked about the Church of Satan founded by Anton LaVey, and it's sort of I believe, Ben, correct me if I'm wrong, evolution into the temple of Satan, or are they completely unconnected? I could have sworn there was a connection, but either way, they are related in terms of their belief structure. The temple of Satan being an organization that where members use imagery of the devil and of, you know, satanic rituals, black magic rituals, candles and mm-hmm. you know, sacrificial knives, wearing robes and pentagrams and all of that kind of stuff as a way to express a very, very strong sense of personal freedom, mm-hmm. a very strong sense of, what is it? Do what thou wilt, maybe the whole of the law, you know, shall be. Yeah, that is an original Anton LaVey kind of sentiment. And again, forgive me if I'm getting the evolution of the Temple of Satan incorrect, but they very much share that same mentality. And in Chile, apparently, and this is, I guess, the most interesting hook, because we've certainly talked about the Temple of Satan and the Church of Satan before. They get a lot of bad rap, the idea of, you know, satanic panic stuff, that they're devil worshipers, they're doing black magic, but all that stuff is just for show and kind of for a pomp and circumstance to create a maybe I've always thought of it as sort of like a protest religion or a protest kind of ideology against organized religion.
And to the question I believe you were asking there at the top of this, the Church of Satan is separate from the Temple of Satan, or the Satanic Temple, I should say.
But either way, you could argue that it is a splinter of that ideology that Anton LaVey established, you know, back in the early days of the Church of Satan, which I believe had to have been the 60s, right?
1966, baby.
There you go. Hey, 666. But the thing that interested me about this whole idea of the Satanic Temple taking – also, by the way, Satanic Temple, if I'm not mistaken, has been making headlines in the past, you know, decade or so here in the States from doing some very public acts of protest. Like, I think they built a Baphomet sculpture like near a school or something. There was a big to-do made of this Baphomet sculpture they built on public property, I believe, that was funded by the temple, the Satanic Temple. And there were some other, you know, kind of PR moves that they did that caused almost this resurgent panic against, you know, Satanism or whatever here in the United States. In Chile, however, 18 million citizens, 18 million people identify as Catholic. And in this country, the Satanic Temple is now getting so much interest, so many people jumping ship from Catholicism and other religions that they are asking the government to recognize them as a legally religious organization, association with all of the appropriate, you know, tax benefits and such that go along with that. There's a really great piece in the AP by Nayara Botchke, and I'll just read a quick moment from this and then we can move on. Scholars, she says, believe, and residents consulted by the Associated Press note that Chile, where a long-lasting tradition of Catholicism has played a leading role in public discussions, is experiencing a crisis of faith following revelations of multiple sexual abuse scandals within the Catholic Church over the years. Win for Satan there, you know? match point. It is interesting, though, considering what we also talked about, how the Catholic Church has come out with this anime, you know, mascot that's meant to appeal to like Gen Luce. Alphas. And, and of course, it was going to happen, guys. I don't know if you heard about this, but a lot of horrible AI imagery of that anime character have flooded the internet of it participating in sex acts, or her participating in sex acts. Really, really gross stuff, but all pointing to the fact that the Catholic Church is maybe starting to get a little desperate to recruit new, you know, devotees. So what do you guys think about that?
I just want to point people to the satanictemple.com, where they have a quote, kids quick reference guide that compares the Satanic Temple and the Church of Satan.
Cool. helpful resource.
And in the chat, I am reading, we are still going, just so everybody knows, in the chat, we're going hard on these.
Can we save them for the end?
Yes, we will. They're they're very distracting and good.
Thank you. Having been to Chile, everything you say is correct. It is predominantly Christian country. We are proponents on this show of the ideology of the Church of Satan, especially because it's non-theistic in its pursuit. And I think you summed it up very well. Excited to see what develops, especially, again, the thing we always have to put here is these folks are not saying they worship Satan. It is a purposely polemical, provocative hook to get you involved with their earlier philosophy. So yeah, looking forward to see what develops there.
100%. With that, let's take a quick break, hear a word from our sponsor, and then return with one more segment of our weekly Strange News episode.
And we've returned. Guys, hey, remember that drug we talked about? I think it was September last year, phenylephrine?
Yes, yeah.
But I don't know that I do.
With a pH, right?
Yes, two pHs. Oh, love word that has two pH sections.
No PhD, though.
Correct. Correct. It is often referred to as PE on packaging for cold medicines that you may find in whatever store you go to buy cold medicine. Well, guys, back then, the reason why we talked about it is because the Food and Drug Administration finally agreed with almost two decades of research that showed that this drug, phenylephrine or frin, is not effective as a nasal decongestant, which is its primary purpose.
That's it. I remember now.
Oh, yes.
And you can, for the record, for all our friends with the FDA, you can advertise loose, vague claims for any kind of nutritional supplement that doesn't have to go through FDA testing. But Matt, I believe in this case, the problem was that PE was being advertised with some sort of measurable medical efficacy that simply wasn't there.
Oh, yeah, fully. This is an over-the-counter cough and cold medicine or additive for cough and cold medicines that was supposedly a powerful nasal decongestant. And it was put in place early on to replace some of the other dangerous nasal decongestants that were being used to create methamphetamines and other things.
Right. That was the big draw. So what are some popular brand names of this bunk placebo effect drug that we might all recognize?
Think of any cough medicine that you've ever purchased in your life. Tylenol, Theraflu, Sudafed, sure. Robitussin, NyQuil, Advil.
Mm-hmm. All the hits, all the good ones. All the good ones.
Basically all the ones that you can go reach down on a shelf and pick up the actual bottle and take it to checkout. Those are the ones that have this.
And that's not to say that the active ingredients in Tylenol won't make you feel better on other fronts, but they certainly aren't decongesting your nasal passages.
Yeah, because that's not the only ingredient. That's a great point, I think.
Correct. But you can get versions of almost all of those that are titled like Tylenol DM or Sudafed DM or some other thing where it's got a different substance in there that functions for that nasal decongestant thing. But in this case, the PE stuff doesn't do anything. And we're giving you this update because they just announced, the FDA that is, that they are going to seek to pull this thing, phenylephrine, off the market. And they did that finally because they concluded that and this is really important, guys, the oral version of phenylephrine is ineffective. The oral version. They concluded that there are other versions of this, other ways to get the medicine into your body, which are at much higher concentrations that can function as a nasal decongestant, but taking them in those ways could potentially be more dangerous and would require something like, a doctor's note, right? A prescription.
Medical supervision of some sort.
Is it a matter of bioavailability? You hear that term thrown around a lot. I do wonder, like, it just doesn't absorb through that method, through the oral method. But if you shoot it directly into like a muscle or whatever, maybe that works better.
I'll give you a direct quote from CBS News. Alexander Tin wrote this on November 7th, 2024. If you want to look it up, it is titled FDA to pull common but ineffective cold medicine from the market. Here's the quote. The latest data shows that only a tiny fraction of phenylephrine is absorbed into the body when digested from a pill or syrup containing the substance. Sure. This is different from other formulations like the inhaled nasal spray version of the drug, where larger percentages can make it into the bloodstream. This continues just a little bit, guys. Less than 1% of the drug is absorbed into the bloodstream after being swallowed, they estimated.
So it's not to say, so the drug itself isn't bunk, but it's just the method of delivery, right?
Yeah, just take 300% more.
Sure. Yeah, there you go. Yikes. And for that, they say far higher doses, like you're suggesting, Ben, could be needed to achieve a clinically meaningful outcome, which would raise significant questions about safety.
Yeah, and the other stuff that's packaged in those pills that are being sold, because you might, have to take a fistful of them to even get any. And that's the thing, though, right? What if someone was like, "Oh, it's not working. I'll just take more. Now it's working a little bit, but now they've overdosed on Tylenol.
Yeah,
they've overdosed, toxic levels of acetaminophen.
Sure. Yeah, which is not good for you, by the way. We've learned about a lot of that stuff. The regular drugs, just don't take too much of them.
Can you guys picture the bullshit? Like game of telephone with Big Pharma, where this was decided to be a good idea.
100%.
Like, I mean, truly.
Big Pharma, I would say, does not think this is a good idea. Neither does the Consumer Healthcare Products Association. Mm-hmm. They said they are disappointed in the FDA's proposal.
Oh, no. Disappointed.
Because they say, quote, PE should remain an available option for consumers because Americans deserve the option to choose the safe and effective over-the-counter medicines they prefer and rely on.
That's so lame. That's like saying, back in the 1600s, look, consumers should be able to dunk someone in water if they're a witch. Well, that's their choice.
If they think it's a witch, then they've got to be able to dunk them in the water. That's their choice.
Who are we to say, big government? So, clearly there's a financial incentive at this point. I think that's the primary conspiracy, right? The good news for anybody wondering is that the individuals who are making the most profit off of this in the pharmaceutical industry, if you're worried about them, let us assuage your concerns. They're going to be fine. They're not going to get in trouble. Nothing bad is going to happen to them. They might lose a little bit of revenue.
And the FDA has that in mind. They know, hey, we're taking money out of the pockets of Big Pharma left and right here with this move. Yeah. So what they've done is they've given everyone until May 7th of next year, of 2025, to weigh in on the proposal. That's the public, us. We get to weigh in on this proposal. After that comment period, if the FDA decides to revoke this oral phenylephrine's status as a, quote, generally recognized as safe and effective drug, over-the-counter drug makers, all of the ones we listed earlier, would be forced to stop using the ingredient. But this window is designed so that they can reformulate their drugs, come up with something new, something fancy, something exciting, something that may also be just as ineffective.
Kissing cousin, right? An analog drug of PE, some kind of synthetic version that's just different enough to not fall beholden to the same regulation. Also, I'm just going to say it, far be it for me to sound paranoid or conspiratorial, but in my experience, you guys, typically when those public statement windows occur, typically a non-insignificant portion of the public making comments tend to be in one way or another hired by someone who is hired by the larger company to pretend to care about a thing. The money moves.
It really does. You know what? You know how else the money moves, guys?
How is that, Matt?
Well, it moves from your pockets into a delivery driver's hand. This is a very common thing. We got super used to it about halfway through 2020. Well, there's another story in strange news today that goes directly into your delivery fees and the stuff that you pay for that stuff, or at least you used to. Here we go. You remember a thing called Grubhub, guys?
Yes.
Sure. Chubhub, some people call it.
Does anybody still use that? I haven't used Grubhub. I went with one of the other ones.
I use Uber Eats.
I think it's regionally and community dependent, so your mileage may vary. Often in suburban areas or outside of inner city areas where, you know, we live in a metro area, a lot of people end up using Grubhub just because it's more consistent or available. So it's sort of like, you know, if you don't usually drink soda, you go to a restaurant, they'll have Pepsi or Coke and you'll just sort of go with whatever they have.
Oh, you know? For sure. The only reason I use the one that I use, like a food delivery app, is because somebody else was using it one time and I went, oh, I guess I'll get that one too.
So you got it. Now it's normalized. Yeah. You're in the sandbox.
Exactly. Well, Grubhub, you guys, was a huge deal during the pandemic. So huge. And it was valued so high, along with all of those other food delivery apps that were not new, but all of a sudden everybody was using them practically every day or every other day. It was intense. Well, they were purchased by a Netherlands-based food delivery company called Just Eat Takeaway for $7.3 billion.
U.S. dollars? Sorry, I got really Larry David there.
Yes.
Okay.
$7.3 billion U.S. dollars in June of 2020. So at the height of pandemic times, this company, Just Eat Takeaway, swooped in, and they actually beat out a couple other people who were vying to buy Grubhub. And they got it, man. They got that thing. And they were like, dude, we're going to take over the U.S. markets with this thing. It's going to be gangbusters because this is our new normal. Everybody does this all the time now. The pandemic world is forever.
Yeah, and U.S. labor laws are trash, so it's not like we have to respect the people working for us.
But here's the thing, though. I mean, people do use these apps like gangbusters, you know? It would seem that maybe they bet on the wrong horse. Like, I'd love to hear some market share data because I know people, definitely tons of people still, you know, whether it's holdover from pandemic, still use food delivery services.
Oh, for sure. I still use it every once in a while, but it is functioning at a very different level than it was when Grubhub was purchased for $7.3 billion. Because 4 years later, they just have announced that Just Eat Takeaway is selling Grubhub to another thing that we've already talked about on the show before called Wonder for $650 million.
Hang on. Now, those of us who are not, you know, number surgeons or whatever, that seems like they're selling it for a little bit less than they bought it for.
A little bit less. It's a loss of about $6.5 billion with a B.
U.S. dollars?
Ooh. Ooh. Yes. Is this at least a tax write-off for these poor saps?
Well,
it better be.
According to Just Eat Takeaway, it's going to help them grow as a company by selling this. They're going to have cash on hand, about $650 million worth of cash, because they're going through problems. Guys, Wonder, do you recall what that is when we talked about it?
No, but I want to say food related, because I know they bought a food kit service at some point, right?
Yes, like that, but mostly what Wonder is one of those kitchens that produces a ton of different food out of one kitchen that is all branded with different restaurants. So like the quote is 28 fast casual restaurants, mostly around New York City and New Jersey. And they call it a wide range of global cuisines, right? So this company is now going to have its own delivery service, basically, which, if you can just imagine in the minds of the people that own Wonder, they just dropped $650 million for their own, like, I guess, catered delivery service thing that they'll also still use for other stores, but then they can make theirs like top of the line.
Check out our episode on ghost kitchens as well. That was a fun one, I think, for all of us. And they're, look, their model is not necessarily bad, but they're definitely going to leverage that advantage to get their one kitchen that appears to be eight kitchens a little bit higher on the search page, a little bit closer to what feels reasonable. I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it.
Well, you got to wonder too. I wonder the bets that were being placed on ghost kitchens during the pandemic have probably not yielded the dividends that folks were hoping for, because it kind of became like almost, you know, people were like knew where to spot them and they were like getting wise to it because they were typically not the best of quality.
Speaking of quality, Pasquale's, what was it called? Was that the one Chuck E. Cheese? The pizza? Sorry. I don't know why my brain did
that. No, it's great memory. Yeah.
So guys, one of the major reasons is something you touched on just with a comment, Ben, earlier. One of the major reasons Just Eats was trying to get rid of their U.S. food delivery stuff is because of those new regulations that have come out about how much a food delivery service can charge as a fee. So we're not talking about the cost of the food. We're not talking about the whatever tip you leave the driver. The fee that Grubhub or DoorDash or whoever can charge just for using their service. New York and Jersey and a bunch of other places have capped how much you can actually charge a customer.
Right, because it went wild with surge pricing. Mm-hmm. And you can even see it now, even if you're in kind of a stable financial environment, go to a restaurant's website, your local restaurant that you were about to order delivery from, and notice that every item is several dollars lower than if you ordered it through Uber Eats or Grubhub or DoorDash or whatever comes next after that.
Wow. This is weird stuff, guys. The last thing on Wonder, because it does feel like this is a pretty big power move. And if Wonder is going to expand the way I imagine, you know, the owners of it want it to expand, it does feel like one of those new things that will exist sometime when my son is a little bit older, where he's like, well, I guess we're going to order from Wonder tonight. And everybody gets what they want from one of the 59 stores that they have in them at that time or whatever.
It's the same driver. Yeah. So there might be utility to the consumer. That's a really good, great point.
One last thing here, guys. The owners of, or at least the part owners of Wonder, it's this thing called VCP Ventures. It's co-founded by two guys. The first one, his name is Mark Lohr. He is the, quote, LeBron James of e-commerce.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. He's the guy who owns Wonder, or at least is behind Wonder, and he's behind the Grubhub acquisition. The other guy that owns VCP Ventures alongside him is a guy named Alex Rodriguez. Does that sound familiar to y'all? Alex Rodriguez,
baseball player, Virginia baseball,
baby,
yeah,
the dude from the Yankees. So the LeBron James of e-commerce and A-Rod own this thing that will eventually be where all of us eat all the time.
Great. I look forward to it.
Looking forward to it. What could go wrong with monopolization? What could go wrong with everything rising and converging in a capitalistic version of what Flannery O'Connor warned us about so long ago?
Speaking of rising, I think we have a few more puns.
We do. Let's see. Our pal Dylan says, every bang, everywhere, all at once, to which I reply, what creams may come?
No.
Ocean's 11 hard inches.
Jeez, guys, I think we've crossed the line.
I'm just getting
Edward
started.
Penis hands, you pointed out. That's a real one.
That's a real one.
I've heard of that. I don't think it was a Wicked Pictures production, though.
No. And apparently we're too lazy.
One blew over the cuckoo's nest.
Ooh.
Oh, I said one blew over the cuckoo's breast.
Oh, even better. But it's, you know, for fans of classic cinema.
And then there's one flew over the cuckold's nest would be the next logical derivation. Send us your favorite ones, folks. We try to be easy to find on email, via telephone, and all over the internet.
Mm-hmm. You can find us at the handle Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on the internet, as Ben mentioned. You can find us at that handle on Facebook, where we have our Facebook group, as well as on X, FKA Twitter, and on YouTube, where we have video content for you to enjoy. It's galore-ish. You can also find us at the handle Conspiracy Stuff Show on Instagram and TikTok.
We have a phone number. It is 1-833-STDWYTK. When you call in, know that it's a voicemail system. You've got 3 minutes. Give yourself a cool nickname and say whatever you'd like. Do at some point let us know if we can use your name and message on the air. If you've got more to say than can fit in a 3-minute voicemail, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
The entities that read every piece of correspondence we receive, be well aware, yet unafraid. Sometimes the void writes back. As always, write to us directly if you would like us to create a nickname for you. Our final comments here are, of course, Strokemon Go.
That's not a movie.
No. Okay.
All right. The gangbang.
Dylan had Oppen Humper.
That was great. Goodwill Humping, right? If we didn't get to that one. And of course, Gangbangs of New York and Phil Bill. Send us your favorite suggestions. We can't wait to hear from you. We're out here in the dark. Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.